perplexity. The sea and the winds and the waves will be roaring, that men's hearts will be failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. He says just before he comes, all of these things are going to be happening. And he starts with this word, perplexity. And I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people, when they look at the events of the last days, they are perplexed why these things would happen. They're confused why somebody would do the things that they're doing. But he says the power of heaven will be shaken. Now, we know that we are right people with the Lord. And we know that when the powers of heaven are going to be shaken, that means that we're going to have power. So I want to know from you today, will your heart fail you when the powers of heaven are going to be shaken? Or are you going to stand firm in what it is that you know to be true? You see, many times when our faith is shaken, we deny the Lord. Look at the great disciple who became an apostle, Peter. Before he became that, he denied the Lord three times when his world began to shake. Amen? How much are we going to go through before you and I know how to stand firm in the Lord? I am ultimately responsible for my faith not to be shaken. You are responsible for your faith not to be shaken. And together, we are responsible, ultimately, for everybody's faith not to be shaken. You see, we are the church. We are the church. The church means the called out ones. Amen? It is the assembly of the called out ones. Well, when you're called out, you stand out. And if you don't stand out, you're not called out. I don't know. Let me say that one again. When you are called out, you stand out. And if you don't stand out, you're not called out. I don't know if you've ever been standing in line and there was somebody giving orders and calling people out. And they say, you. And if you come out and they didn't call you, they say, I didn't call you. Go back. Stand back. Each one in here, Jesus Christ has already called you. But it's up to you to stand out. Because you have been called out. You have been chosen. Our Lord wants everybody to hear the word of the Lord. Amen? But everybody that hears the word of the Lord, you are actually called out. But it's your decision to stand out. We have the opportunity in light of social media, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, to be stand out for the called outs. Amen? And I want to know this morning, is your faith full of faintness? Amen? Because it's manifestation time. I want you to turn your Bibles to Acts, the 4th chapter. And I'm going to start at verse 18 through verse 20. If you don't have your Bibles, it'll be on the screen. It says, then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. We've been in this church And we have seen and we have heard what God can do. We have seen people walking around here with oxygen tanks, get off of oxygen tanks. We have seen people in here in wheelchairs get up and walk. We have seen people who had all kinds of pains and they were going through all kinds of suffering. All of a sudden, they were delivered and healed in the name of Jesus. My own personal testimony is on a Thursday night, they told me my toe was broken. And on Friday, I said, it's not broken. And in the name of Jesus, I came in here and I put x-rays on the film, on the screen so you could see my broken toe. But in the name of Jesus, I declared and I decree that my toe was not broken. We have to take authority over what it is that God has given us stewardship over. Amen? If you don't have a job this morning, you take stewardship over what God has already promised you. And it all starts with your belief. If you don't believe it, you can't receive it. As children, our belief in understanding that somebody was going to put something under the tree for us gave us hope, gave us excitement, gave us something to look forward to. We know that Jesus Christ is our hope, and we have something to look forward to. But those people that are out there, they don't understand and they don't know because the enemy has blinded them. So when we get to this text, Peter and John were breaking their silence because they said in verse 20, "For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." They were threatened by the religious leaders, amen? And as they were being threatened, they said, we can't stop because we are moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fell in the beginning of Acts. It says that they were all up in a room, and all of a sudden, like a mighty rushing wind, the Holy Spirit fell down, and they started speaking in all kind of tongues. People thought that they were drunk, but Peter said, we're not drunk. We're intoxicated, but we're not drunk. Have you ever been intoxicated by the Spirit but not drunk? What the world physically sees is one thing, the Spirit sees as another. Drunkenness in Christ is intoxicated with the Spirit. Amen? Peter said, we're not drunk, but I'm going to tell you something. He says we are infused with the Holy Spirit. We're going to do a lot of shaking. We're going to do a lot of rebel rousing around this city right here. We're going to do a lot of breaking, making noise, and doing some shaking because we have this Spirit. We have the Comforter that was promised to us by Jesus Christ before he left. Hallelujah. Church, we must break out of our silence. We've been silent for too long. We've been silent for too long. When you're a child and somebody gives you something, you're full of excitement, you're full of joy, you run around and you want everybody to know this is something my daddy gave me. It could be a quarter. My daddy gave me this quarter. You run around enthusiastic about things. But when you get older, as a child, you don't want the quarter no more. It's lost its shine. And then all of a sudden, there's no enthusiasm anymore. You don't want the quarter, you want the dollar. You don't even want the dollar, you want $10. And I'm saying, church, we're not excited about the quarter no more. We got to get excited about the quarter. Because whatever God gives us is blessed. Amen? Because he didn't have to give it to us at all. We got to get excited about it. And it is time to get out there and to preach and to teach in the name of Jesus. So I'm going to go off a little bit here. And I'm going to say a couple of things. This gentleman sitting here came yesterday with his two daughters. They came for a meet and greet. Now, I don't know whether or not he was really excited to come back here. I can find that out later. But I can tell you one thing. His daughters were very excited yesterday that they came to church and that there's a children's ministry going on and they can be involved in the children's ministry. But while we say we need some people to come out to meet people and to greet people, to shake their hand, to give them some coffee and talk to them to find out what's going on, I can only get one or two. I can only get a few. Because you don't see the vision. Well, God is showing you the vision. God is manifesting himself. He is making it plain. No, we didn't have Starbucks. It's that regular coffee. We didn't have Edmonds. We just had a couple of cookies and some homemade biscuits. But what ain't good enough for you is good enough for whoever God brings in. Somebody say amen. I'm saying this because you've got to catch the vision. You've got to see what God is doing right here in your church, right here in your community. Peter and John said, we have seen and we have heard. So because they seen and they heard, you could not shut them up. You could not stop them. Amen? We need people in church right now. We need saints that you cannot stop them. They need to get excited about what God is doing. They need to understand that. Don't look at things in the physical, but look in the spiritual, because God is doing a new thing. God is bringing people into the fold. God is giving people an opportunity to hear his word. His goal is that none should be lost. Peter and John, they were under scrutiny because on their way to the temple, they met somebody that needed to hear a word. They met somebody who needed to know that there is somebody that can take them out of a hopeless situation. That man was sitting there begging for money. But they say, silver and gold have I none. Yeah, there's going to be some people that's going to be looking for money. But silver and gold, you might not have none. But what you have is worth more than money. They're looking for at money for our hope. We're looking at them because we know what hope is. Because hope is in the same person that we have hope. Amen? There's so many people that are enslaved by sin. Enslaved and don't know how to break free, how to break out. But there is a man named Jesus who's a chain breaker. He can break yokes. He can break all kind of manner of sins, no matter what it is that you're going through. Hope is named Jesus. You see, the world don't want you to say anything about Jesus. They don't want you to talk about him. You're a fool when you talk about him. They don't want you to show a birth scene that has something where this baby is being born out of nowhere by a woman, but impregnated through the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. They don't want you telling the story no longer. Amen? But we cannot be silenced any longer. Peter said it this way, and there is salvation in no place, in none other, for there is no other name under heaven which has been given among men by which we must be saved. There is no other name, none, nada, no other name. You must be saved by the name, through the name of Jesus Christ. Some will tell you that, all you have to do is go get baptized. Absolutely not. You have to be saved first. You have to recognize that Jesus came down from the cross, died, rose the third day, and overcame death. Hallelujah. What do we do when we can no longer preach and teach in the name of Jesus? We do what Peter and John did. We tell them, you say that I can't, but I have to. You say that I can't, but I have to. There are times when this gospel that you have to share it with somebody going through a desperate situation. Sometimes you got to stop your car and pull over. Times it can't be business as usual. Times where the Spirit leads you somewhere you don't have an idea why you're there. But it will be revealed in the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Amen? What we need is the great power of the Holy Spirit. Because when we have the great power of the Holy Spirit, there's a boldness that comes along with it. When you have the Holy Spirit, there's a uniform that comes along with it. People can't see it, but the devil can. Have you ever seen the devil walk to you and turn around and go the other way? That's because the Spirit of the mighty God is there on you. We look in physical terms. The devil looks in a spiritual term. When your spirit is weak, that's when he comes after you. When your spirit is weak, you're actually spiritually sick. Disease can't get on you until you're physically sick. Amen? When you wear your little self out, running around doing this and that, all of a sudden you got a cold, you got a flu. When you don't run yourself out physically, spiritually for Christ, you get spiritually weak. And the devil comes after you. Then you stop talking to people on the phone. Then you stop coming to church. Then you stop reading your Bible. Then you stop realizing how good God is to you because you take everything for granted. Because you wake up every day. Because you still got a job. Because you still make a little money. Your car is still going. You got a roof over your head. We start thinking we got all that we need. The devil is the author of confusion. Amen? And when you start to believe that, he's got you. Peter and John, you have to be ready to suffer whatever it takes. We get up in the morning, we're too tired to pray. We're too tired to put on the full armor. When you get up in the morning, don't you put your underwear on? Somebody say ouch. You need to put on the undergarment that God has given you. You got to put on the full armor of God. But we get up, we're too tired to pray. But if your girlfriend or your friend call you on the phone, you ain't too tired to talk. Sometimes, well, they're calling me this time in the morning, something is going on, it must mean something. They don't call me like this unless it's something important. What about when God taps you on the shoulder and wakes you up? Do you get up and start talking to him? Maybe he's got something important to tell you. Maybe something's getting ready to go on. The Bible talks about Peter and John in Acts 3, 4, and 31, and it says, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. I want Cathedral of Higher Praise to get to the point that when we start praying, that we start speaking in tongues and know that we have to speak with boldness. What happened to those days? What happened to that time? What happened to those people? If we start praying right now, the Holy Spirit would just drop. It would just drop. And those that are in that place where there are confusion, they'd have to drop. They'd have to drop. Whatever's going in your life, it would have to drop. Whatever confusion the enemy's trying to impose on you, it would have to drop. This great power, we need it today. But we're too silent. We got to start manifesting and talking and testifying about this power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We're going to go to Acts, the fifth chapter, verses 32 to 39. Before we get there, I want to identify a few people in these scriptures. They're going to talk about a man named Theotis. This guy was a false Messiah. He was promoting himself when in reality he was nothing. There are people out there. Jesus talks about before he comes, there's going to be false prophets. There's people out there that are promoting themselves when in reality, they're nothing. If it don't point to the cross, you better watch what it is pointing at. I'm going to say that again. If it is not pointing to the cross, you better watch what it is pointing at. When it points to the cross, you might need an airplane, but you don't need a $1 billion airplane. When it points to the cross, you need a place to live in, but you don't need a mansion. When it points to the cross, you don't have to pay $50 for somebody to send you some scented oil. When it points to the cross, you can have a red car and not a Benz, a Bentley. This man claimed he had power that he never possessed. Everything that happened in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and in the Bible still happens today. This man tried to set up an earthly kingdom. How many people have you know that were all of these prophets and apostles that were going to come back, and people were paying money waiting for them to come back? They ain't here yet. I'm telling you about this person because you're going to read it, but I want you to know who this person really was. This man stayed dead, and all of a sudden, his followers, they disbanded. Amen? Jesus rose again, and his followers are still going strong. There's another man. Judas the Galilean is in here. He wanted to make a new set of Jews, amen? And actually, his whole premise was that we're the children of God, and we're from Israel, and we're in Rome, but we're not going to pay taxes to the Roman government. So he had a group of followers who believed in his theory that we're not going to pay taxes, and we're going to be defiant to the Romans. Now, Jesus said, you're in Rome? Do as they do. You in Connecticut? Connecticut taxes. You in New York? Pay New York taxes. Don't go there and say, well, I'm from Las Vegas, Nevada. I don't pay taxes. Wherever you are, you pay your taxes. You do what you're supposed to do because that's where you are. Amen? So this man had a following that says, we're not going to pay taxes. And people followed him like he was a Messiah. He was a God. Now there's Gamaliel. This man was a learned man. He was one of the most outstanding teachers in Jewish history. As a matter of fact, his name means the reward of God. But he was a Pharisee. He was the grandson of Hillel, who was the founder of a liberal school of Jewish law. I'm building up to something. That's why I want you to get this. Because we can read the Bible, but we don't really understand what they were saying because we don't have the full context. Amen? So there's words, and I'm telling you who these people were. Now, this man, Gamaliel, he was a doctor of the law. And he had as much training as was physically possible in that world. He was so respected and loved. He was given the title of Rabban, which is master. It is said that he was the first one of only seven men ever given that title. But now let's look at his personality. He was a thinking man. He was an extremely wise man. He was a man with a firm belief in God and his providences. He was the teacher of Saul of Tarsus. Saul, the one that we turn around and we call Paul, and we say Paul was a very educated man, a very learned man. Amen. This was his teacher. So when we get to Acts 5 and 32, remember, Peter and John kept going out there preaching the gospel, kept talking about how they got to do it in boldness, kept going to in front of the courts and defying them. Kept praying, kept talking about Jesus no matter what. The government didn't know what to do with them. So in the council of others, this is what this man says. Peter and Paul says, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. This is the council. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a while. He said, take Peter and John, put them outside for a while. They don't really need to hear what I'm getting ready to say. He said, then he addressed the Sanhedrin. He said, men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas, the Galilean, appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, Leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. When you do something and it is of God, they can try to stop you, but they're only going to find themselves fighting against God. Don't you know when you walk in the Spirit and it is of God, they're going to find themselves fighting against something they can't win. Church, we have the victory. The enemy's already defeated. I don't care what it is that you're going through. If it is from God, they can't beat you. They can't put you down. They can't destroy you. They can kill you, but the work is still going to go on. Jesus Christ has been dead for many years, but the work is still going on. His disciples are not here, but the work is still going on. You got to do the work of Christ, because if not, the work is still going to go on. My question is you is or is you ain't? We got to start talking about what God has manifested us to talk about. We got to pray for those who need prayer. We got to feed those that are hungry. We got to teach those that want to learn. We have to comfort those that are in crisis. We got to give to those that are in need. We got to give hope to the homeless. We have to give healing to those that hurt. We have to encourage those that are discouraged. We got to lead the unsaved to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That is not just a manifestation, that is a mandate. Because when the Holy Spirit leads you to do something, prostitutes can become preachers. Alcoholics can become apostles. Sinners can be saved. Criminals can become Christians. Murderers can become martyrs. Evildoers can be evangelists. The poor can become prosperous. The hurt can become healers. The failures can become favored. I'm a failure. But I'm favored. God favored me. He favored me. He favored you. No matter what it is that you're going through, He favored you. He favored you. I said He favored you. You're a favored people this morning. You're a blessed congregation this morning. You're blessed beyond measure this morning. The wicked can become worshipers. The speakers of gospel can be speakers of the gospel. Somebody say amen. Amen. Anything can happen when God favors us. And you know what? Because God favored me, ain't no stopping me now. Ain't no stopping me now. Church, we got to say, ain't no stopping us now. Peter and John said, in their own way, we cannot stop talking about what we have seen and heard. You can't stop us now. Ain't no stopping us now. When you're filled with the Spirit and God continues to bless you and you look through spiritual lenses, you know that you cannot stop. And you cannot stop. Let me give you an example. In the New Testament, the Bible records 40 distinctly sick people. It identifies 40 sick people. Out of the 40 that were sick, they were suffering from some type of disease that had been healed by Jesus. Out of the 40, 34 of them were either brought to Jesus by others, or Jesus was taken to them. Only 6 cases did of the 40 did the sick people find their way to Christ. That means that Christ has to be taken out to the sick people more than the sick people are going to come to Christ. Sick people don't even look at Christ as an option. They don't even look to him as an alternative. But unless they see you and hear you and hear the Christ in you and see the Christ in you, hear the Christ in you and see the Christ in you. Hear the Christ in you, because people listen. So unless they hear the Christ in you or see the Christ in you, Christ is not an alternative. We are commanded. We are a sleeping giant. We are commanded this morning to know that everybody is somebody. Amen? And that God wants everybody to be somebody because he created them to be somebody. Amen? And he wants us somebodies to stop not telling everybody about him. The enemy has us bound up. He has thrown the roadblocks in front of us since the days of old. He is still throwing up roadblocks. He's not going to stop. Either he can trip you up or he's got to dig a ditch. I want him to have to dig a ditch for me. I want him to do some work. I don't want him to just tie a little rope across from that chair to that chair and I'm not looking and I trip over. I want him to dig a ditch. I want the enemy to have to work. I want him to figure out something that he might think he can do. But irregardless of that, I am still going to win. Because in Christ, I got the victory. We got to put the Lord in charge of our destiny. As long as we do that, the devil's never going to win. We are not in control. We are not in control. We are pieces of that puzzle. And when the Lord takes us and lays us down in that puzzle, and we fit in, he's carved that out for us. His puzzle has many, many, many pieces. I just want to be part of the puzzle. I don't need have to be the right corner, the left corner, or in the middle of the puzzle. I just want to be a part of the puzzle. Just a piece of the puzzle. Don't be trying to squeeze me in where I don't fit. We're too busy trying to fit a round peg in a square hole. Where God has assigned you, go where God has assigned you. Because when you go where you're not assigned, you're going to be unsuccessful. God doesn't want you to be unsuccessful. God has a purpose for you and a plan for your life. Not only does he have a purpose, but he has a plan. When you look at the big picture of what God created, heaven, earth, and everything in it, under it, and around it, and then he did things with such precision that if it moved this way a little or that way a little, its purpose is gone. Well, do you realize that when he made you with precision. He made you with a purpose. And when you move this way or that way, but not according to his will, you lose purpose. He allows that to happen to us, but he has a redemption plan for us. He has a way to make all things new. He has a way to resurrect and do things different. As perfect as everything is in the universe, that's how perfect you are to him. The Bible says that we are wonderfully made. This morning, you are wonderfully made. Wonderfully made. I don't care what the enemy is telling you. I don't care what it is that you're going through. There is a person in the form and in the name of Jesus Christ that can turn all of that around. He can turn it all around. Whatever is hopeless to you is not hopeless to him. Come on, somebody. Whatever is hopeless to you is not hopeless to him. Let us stand this morning.